God of Jacob, His love endures through generations. I know that You will keep Your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses. Who opened up the ocean? I need You now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need You. Oh God, my God, I need You now. How I need You now. Oh Rock, oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on Your faithfulness, on Your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, rest upon the lonely. I know with You all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need You. Oh God, my God, I need You now. How I need You now. Oh Rock, oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on Your faithfulness, on Your faithfulness.
We're going to take a moment. Each month we focus in on something that is happening around our community or something that that we can be a part of. And we call it our Kingdom Focus. And this month we are focusing in on the homeless and kind of the needs that go along with that. So part of our tithes and offerings will go to helping HOPE. They are a organization here that works with the homeless. And actually, we have a guest. Ben, are you? You're out here somewhere. There he is. I'm going to have Ben come up here. And Ben is a roommate of Cameron and Josiah. And he goes to Resonate. And here's a mic. And I'm going to let him share.
Howdy, y'all. I'm not usually one to prepare, so I'm just going to let the Spirit speak through me. But I'm roommates with Cameron and Josiah. Pretty cool story of how Cameron and I got into be roommates, but you can ask him about that later. So I work at HOPE Rescue Mission. I work at what's called the Temporary Safe Outdoor Space. It's a site of 30 hard-sided shelters or tiny homes here in Missoula near the corner of Russell and Broadway. I've been working over at HOPE Rescue Mission there since January, but I have been working with the unhoused population here in Missoula, I'd say since October of 2022. I'll just share a little bit about how I got involved in that. I moved to Missoula in August of 2022, wanting to pursue Parks and Rec management at the university. And then 2 months later, God kind of just like landed me at an open interview at the library. Didn't really know where I was applying. The next day, I got a job at the POV. And I kind of worked on and off at the POV part-time throughout college. And I was very much exposed to some very acute, very dire needs in our community. And my heart just kind of really, really got burdened for people in our city who were struggling. Fast forward to October of 2023, I'm going to be taking a year off of school, which was this past year, to establish residency. And I really just wanted to figure out where could I serve in the next year of my life. I turned down really cool job opportunities because I felt like I needed to be doing something different, something more. And then a job at HOPE Rescue Mission just kind of landed in my lap. So at HOPE Rescue Mission, we help the most needy in the community. We help those, and we have a big heart for those who are in recovery. We just do everything that we can for people who want our help. Part of my role at the Temporary Safe Outdoor Space is to be a role model through people in recovery. I share my personal experience with recovery with individuals, I do my best to have the Spirit dwell within me to share hope with other people, hope that maybe they haven't had in decades. A quick story. This past Tuesday, we have recently brought in some ladies from Recovery Centers of Montana up in Columbia Falls. These ladies, they come out of a 30-day treatment program, and sometimes they don't have a place to go afterwards. And if they go back to the shelters, they're going to immediately go back and use. So we've had some capacity to bring some of those ladies in. And for a week, one of the ladies did not show up, and we didn't know where she was. And we had all the plans to just ask her to leave our program. We said, okay, you're gone for 3 days. You have to leave. We're sorry. And then she showed back up on Tuesday. And then, like, I was just like, wait a second. We got to hear this woman out. What's going on? What happened? It turns out she relapsed. She wasn't surrounding herself around healthy people. And we could have said, hey, nope, you got to go on the street. You broke our rules. But instead, we were like, we gotta give this woman a second chance. We just got to give this woman a second chance. And I'm just constantly reminded that, like, in our role, sorry, brain fart, y'all. We're tasked with some pretty hard decisions. I always have to put myself in the shoes of, like, what would Jesus do? And that's really hard because we're not God, we're humans. But when we, like, allow ourselves to have the Holy Spirit dwell within us, I don't know, it just helps. Rambling a little bit, y'all. But HOPE Rescue Mission needs a lot of help. We have not a lot of workers, not a lot of resources to do what we do. And yeah, we're really just trying with what we can. We're relying right now currently on a lot of county tax dollars, but that money will run out in a couple of years. So I really appreciate this opportunity to just share what I do with the church. If you guys have more questions about it, please just feel free to ask me about it, because I left out a lot. But thank you, y'all.
Thank you very much, Ben.
I'm going to pray for you and hope really quick. Father God, we just thank you that you work in our hearts. We thank you that you have given us experiences that we can use to others. Father, we just praise you for Ben and his ministry. Father, I ask that you would strengthen him, that you would strengthen Hope, that, Father, that they'd find the resources that are needed so desperately to be able to work with these folks. And, Lord, we thank you that you are a God of second chances, and that, Father, we just ask that you would work mightily in our city. We have an issue, and we have problems, Lord, we don't want to look at people as a problem. We want to realize that the problem is far beyond that, and that, Father, you would help us to rescue the folks, to rescue people. And so we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wretched assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my forkman in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washing His blood. And what He did for me on Calvary, more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who never fails. He will never fail. Perfect submission. All is at end. I know the author of tomorrow is ordered by steps. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who never fails. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who never fails. He will never fail. Sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. And I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. And I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. And I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who never. trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never
and get up and praise the Lord.
praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is an alleluia. Alleluia. And I know it's not much, nothing else fit for a king, except for heart singing alleluia. Yes, Jesus, we have nothing else fit for a king. Jesus, give us a heart of gratitude, a heart that responds out of the joy that you give, not out of obligation of serving. But of the encouragement in the Spirit that is beyond our comprehension. Praise you again and again. It's in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
There we go. It's awesome. You guys sitting right up here in the front row, which is absolutely awesome. So I'm going to designate you the amen corner, all right? So anytime in the sermon, you can say amen, amen, okay? If I point at you, right?
Amen.
There you go. Okay, you got it. You got it. Okay, good, sweet. Hey, Stephen, you got baptized, man. That was awesome. They opened it up right there in the beginning. Woo! Now, we have this crazy little... It's actually ridiculous, but in some ways it's a lot of fun. So, would you like to ring the bell?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There you go. Ring the bell for us.
There you go.
Woo! All right. I know, it's ridiculous, but it's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun. Hey,
does that when you buy a new bike, too.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we're just like Harley, I think. Wait a minute. Okay, we digress. let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to dig in. Oh, Father God, we just come before you right now. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for, Lord, what you've done in Stephen's life. Just being able to be a witness of his baptism and to be there, Father, what a blessing. And we just praise you for that. Lord, we can ask that you continue not to only work in our lives, but that you would reveal yourself to those around us. And Father, as we dig into your word today, Lord, I ask that you would help us to really kind of dig deep into the way that we process things. that we would be able to know your truth and that you would be able to reveal to us through your Spirit the things that that we've let get out of control. And so, Father, we just give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as we've been working through Inside Out, just a disclaimer, I am going to share probably one of the emotions that is has probably impacted my life more than most. We'll jump right into Scripture. You'll figure it out real quick. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. I'm going to share some very personal stuff with you guys. Because anger is a messy emotion. It really is. Growing up, my dad, who is passed now, who is a good man and was a godly man, also had a real problem with anger. He never physically hurt anybody, but boy, he could lose it. And I mean, he could lose it. And we're not just talking about a little bit. We're talking about all-out vent. Growing up as the youngest, that was rough. My older brothers and that often tell me that I actually did not see the worst of it. Because as Dad got older, it slowly began to change a little bit. And after the divorce, it changed a lot. And I think that was one of the key reasons for the divorce. Dad's anger was usually due to the fact that something went wrong somewhere, and he didn't know how to control his feelings and emotions in it, and so he would just lose it, and he would lose it on whoever was around him. And often it was over stupid things. My brothers picked up on the anger issues. In many ways, I think for one of my brothers, it caused him to lose his first marriage too. I remember him going nuts and taking things and breaking them and just being out of control. And I grew up in this, and it's amazing how you tend to grab how people deal with their feelings and emotions, and you mimic it as a kid, and you learn those pathways. I think that's very much what the Bible is talking about with generational sin, that often we follow the path that we've been taught and how to process things. And so when I was a little kid, I had an anger issue. I remember one day being outside and hosing off, and it was freezing outside, but I was hosing off the concrete where the dog had gone to the bathroom, and I got all upset because the hose wasn't working, so I got so mad I kicked the faucet and busted it off and flooded everything, and yeah, you know, just a little bit of anger issue there. And so I was going down that same track. I had a friend who I admired very much that was in youth ministry, and I was just coming up to that age, and we were one summer out playing and building a dam at camp where we were going to go swimming in the creek, and so getting that all ready, and I dropped a rock and I dropped it on his foot, and he came unglued. And what was really weird about it is I had grown up around anger. But for some reason, I don't know if it was at the camp or what it was. To be honest, I think it's mostly the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, I just had this really wild experience of going, oh, this is what that looks like. And I don't want that. I realized how stupid it was, and how anger is one of those things where it's like it comes out of a very selfish place, and it does damage to everybody else. It's crazy. Some of you guys have grown up with anger. Some of you have grown up with violence, and you know the damage it does to you. And the struggle is it kind of creeps in that it's one of those things that it's really, really hard to channel and control if you have experienced it. So when that was revealed to me, I realized I don't want this. And I really came to the Lord and it was like, I don't want to walk down the same path my brothers are going down. I don't want to walk down the same path my dad is going down. I got an anger issue and I need to deal with it. And I really went to the Lord and started praying and really trying to wrestle with it. And at the time, I was actually in football, and I was really good in football because I was big for my age. And I had older brothers, so I knew how to hit. So I did really well, and I'm competitive. But then I realized that part of football was part of my problem because I would tap into my aggression, I would tap into those emotions in order to succeed in it. And so it was really hard for me, but I quit football. I walked off and I said, I can't do this because this is not healthy for me. And I had to walk away from that. So I began in my life as an early teen being able to look at anger and dealing with my dad and brothers and going, that's foolish. I don't want it, and I'm not going there. And so I kept that attitude in order to be able to control myself. And so as time went by, it became more and more to me that anybody that could not control their emotions or their feelings of it, to me, it was one of those things that it was like, you know, the giant red flag is like, step away. You don't want to deal around an angry person. It's pointless, you know what I mean? And so it got to a place in my life where expressing anger just wasn't going to happen. And whenever I did, I felt extremely shameful and really in a bad place, like I'd slipped, like I'd given up. And then we had a suicide on our doorstep. We had a young man that came and shot himself on our doorstep, and my daughters discovered him, and our whole family went through turmoil, and it was extremely rough. And we had about a year of really dealing with some difficult emotions and some really tough things. And I went to a leadership training that ended up being group counseling, and it was a surprise to me. And I was at this leadership counseling group training thing, and as we were processing different things and we were processing issues that we had in our life, obviously the suicide came up because it had been within the last year. And as we dealt with some of the stuff and as we talked about it, the counselor walked me through the fact that, Mark, your problem is you're angry and you can't express it. And she was right on. Because I felt like if I was angry, I was in the wrong. But yet, what happened to my family, what he did, was wrong. And I didn't know how to be mad at that and not sin. So it was really difficult to be able to grasp the reality that anger can be bad and it also can be good. That there's a place for it. And so you wrestle inside, especially if you've grown up around angry people or angry families, or if you even deal with anger yourself. Here's the crazy thing about A lot of folks I know that deal with anger themselves still deal with shame and guilt because they know the aftermath of what they've done. Because the thing about it is when you let loose of that emotion, you're out of control. And that scared me, to be able to be angry at this guy who had committed suicide and be angry at what happened to my family. And it's like, if I do that, am I going to lose control? And so there became this real tension inside me of trying to go, okay, how do I deal with this? That's why I say, out of all the emotions that we talk about, this is probably one of the emotions that has affected my life in an incredible way. And so being able to go, all right, God, I want to understand this. How is it that I can be angry and not sin? Because I did not understand that or know that. So I want to show you some examples here. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Another time Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger. You guys ever seen one of those Jesus pictures? Have you ever seen Jesus painted angry? Can you even picture Jesus being angry? He looked at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. So he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Jesus' anger was in the fact that they were stubborn, that instead of wanting to see good, they wanted evil. It made him angry. When we read this, I think sometimes we go, okay, yeah, he's, you know, but let's think about it. A lot of times we look at this world and we go, how come God allows bad things to happen? But yet then at the same time, you get people that get frustrated with that question. They want to ask that question, but they'll also ask then, why is God angry? Why is he a God of wrath? Those things don't seem loving. It's like, wait a minute. One of the reasons why God is angry is because there's so much sin and evil in this world. He's not angry because he didn't go his way. He's not angry because he can't control his emotions. He's angry just like we should be when things are not right, when they're not holy, when they're not pure. See, inside of us, each and every one of us, when you hear about a child being abused, when you hear about something that's happening, an injustice around, you should be a little angry. Matter of fact, if you're not angry, then the reality is there's something there that's not quite right. Because those things shouldn't happen. Those are not things that we want to live with in our world. I don't want them in my world. And that's the joy of heaven, is knowing that those things will finally be restored, that God will take care of those things. But we live in a crooked and wicked world, and there are crooked and wicked things happening around us all the time. And some of those things should make us angry. I'm going to look at another scripture here. Look over here in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, starting down here in verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. It's a nice way of saying he was angry. He said to them, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the child in his arms and placed his hand on them and blessed them. He was angry at the crowd in the synagogue because of their intentions of seeing him do something so they could trick him and accuse him. He also got angry at his disciples. Because his disciples were around him and they were doing the things and they're like, oh, let's protect Jesus, and they're holding back the kids from being able to bother him. And Jesus is like, you don't get it. You're going about this the way that man goes about it. Give privilege to those that are privileged, and those that are hindrance, put them to the side. We see this world around us, and this is our problem. We see this world around us through our own human eyes and through our sin nature. And so often we come to a place and we make judgment calls, and even here where the disciples think they're doing Jesus a favor by going, well, let's not have the kids bother Jesus. And so in their minds, they're like, we're doing a good thing here. We're protecting Jesus. And Jesus is like, you don't get it. You don't get it. Bring the children to me. And there's a place there where, man, I tell you what, that's one thing I love about the gospel. You realize the gospel is so simple that a little child can understand it and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Every other religion out there is about trying to achieve something, trying to study to a certain point, trying to get to a certain area that this is, then you finally have arrived, and it's for the elite that can get there. And God says, no, that's not what it's about. I don't just love the elite. Make it so simple that a child can understand it. I was a child when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And at the time, to be honest, I didn't fully understand sin, but I did understand that I wanted Jesus as my friend forever. And so I came to him understanding that I was having a relationship with God and with Jesus. And it was very simple to finally put my trust and faith in him. See, God loves us immensely. And he sees things differently than we do. But often we just get it choked up. Look over here at John chapter 2. Many of you guys are familiar with this when we talk about Jesus being angry. When it was about time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at the table exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all the people out of the court. Both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. When Jesus goes crazy, he's flipping over tables. He's chasing people out. He's chasing out the livestock. And let's face it, he went and made a whip. This is premeditated. You know what I mean? It wasn't he just went in and his emotions. The other scriptures, the gospels tell us he went in, saw what was coming, went home, made a whip, and comes back. All right? And so Jesus is like, all right, this is irritating the heck out of me because this is my Father's house, a house of prayer, and you've turned it into a market. And by turning it into a market, the problem is the place that they turned into a market was the section where the Gentiles were allowed to come up to be a part of the worship. So that's what the world was getting to experience about God, God's worship, was the marketplace. It makes you stop and wonder a little bit, doesn't it? Because here's the reality. God wants us all to come to him. And he wants us to see his majesty and his glory. And there's something about it that being able to come to a place of worship and then have it transformed into a market, into something that happens everywhere around us. Sometimes we have churches that transform their place into the everyday around us scenario because they want to relate. maybe it's not about relating. Maybe it's actually about coming in awe. But anyways, as you look at this whole thing, Jesus was mad. He was mad because they had perverted what was meant to bring God glory. Okay, so I look at all those scenarios. And there is a place for righteous anger. There is a place to be mad and angry and upset about the things that would hold people back from the kingdom, about injustices that are being done, people that would rather have wickedness happen than good. Jesus got upset about these things, and we know he did not sin.
Amen.
There you go. There you go. Just wanted to check. So you think about this. This is the reality of this is anger is not evil. Anger has its place. Guys, as believers in Christ, you think about it. We preach and we push love. Right? Because that's what we're supposed to be about. All right? So the reality of this is if we're supposed to preach and push love, if we're supposed to be people of love and compassion to others, if we're supposed to act in a way that we would be able to draw folks to us, there is a place too for anger to step in that, because I think anger happens in the midst when you truly love. Why was I angry with the suicide? Because he messed up my deck? No. Who cares? I was angry because it was a total lack of love towards my family. It was a total selfish act. And so it was one of those things where it was like, that's not right. And it's okay for me to be angry that somebody would do something like that to harm my kids or my family. It'd be angry. It's okay for me to be angry that he would even do that to himself, because that wasn't right. That he would get to that kind of a place where he couldn't find help. Because that's not right. And that can be angry, an anger that comes out of love. And realizing that anger does not have to be a one-sided expression of selfishness. Because that's the dividing line. See, when we allow our anger to come out of selfishness, when we let our anger come out of the thing that I'm going to control somebody else, or I'm going to prove my point, or I have to be heard, that's the wrong kind of anger. When your anger comes out of a love and a devotion for the Lord, when it comes out of love for others, that's a different kind of anger altogether. And there's a place where we should hate evil. There's a place in our hearts where, in all honesty, when we hear things that happen around us that are injustice to others, that we should be a little angry about that. And it's okay to be able to realize that we need to step into that. Why don't you turn back over here? Let's go back to Ephesians. We're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. We read this verse as we opened it up. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. But notice verse 27. And do not give the devil a foothold. I do not think those verses are necessarily separated. Because some of us have become angry and have vented our emotions out of selfishness, out of wanting to be heard. Spouses do this quite often when you get in an argument, because the person that you love knows how to push the right buttons. And when you push the right buttons, then you say things that you regret, and then you begin to get madder and madder, and you begin to become angry out of the selfishness and out of a hurt. And what's crazy about that is when we do those kind of things, what we do is we begin to let the devil have a foothold in our life. We make an agreement with him that there's certain times that it's okay for me to stand up and push others around. It's okay for me to stand up and to defend myself because I'm being attacked. It's okay for me to shout louder so that somebody can hear you. Have you ever realized how dumb that is? The fact that if we think we shout louder, then somebody's actually going to hear us. It usually just shuts them down. And so we go through this whole scenario and we realize, hey, wait a minute. In our life, if you have an anger issue, you need to deal with it. Because it will destroy you and it will destroy others around you that you love. It is a selfish emotion that can often grab us and seize us and take us down a trip that we do not want to go down. It is like making an agreement with the devil that it's okay for me to do this. And we justify it. And the crazy thing about it is when we vent in this way, when we let go full steam and we hurt others around us, all we feel afterwards is shame and guilt. And yet, for some reason, it's all the easier to do it again. It's like when you lose self-control. There's something about it that when you give in to that and you no longer control something, then it's easier and easier just to give in to it. On the other side of it, though, as we've talked about, there's a place for our righteous anger. There's a place for us to be able to get angry and go, God, I do not want to act or control somebody else. I do not need to make myself heard. But the reality is whatever situation is going on, whether it's injustice, something that is not right, unfair, that there's a place to bring that to the cross. And sometimes there's a place to act upon it. To be able to look at it and see where it is that God has put into your life, to be able to allow you to really contribute to society in a different way. Some of us have been hurt in ways that we have anger inside of our life that we haven't dealt with, like me. And at the same time, some of us have gone through things and you have some anger in your life that may be a motivation for you to actually step in and make a difference in this world. You realize a lot of folks that have made a difference in this world that have stepped up in different ways is because something has happened to them in their past, and all of a sudden they have a burden and a desire for those that are going through the same pain and struggle that they've gone through. That's not a bad thing. So here it is. We should all know this. We are to do all things to the glory of God, right? And we're supposed to, thank you, perfect. And we're also supposed to do all things in love. Because if we don't do it in love, it's worthless, right? Okay, so if you think about that and go, okay, that also means my emotion. My emotion needs to be under the control of all things to the glory of God. And it also needs to be under the control of doing it in love. If you can wrap your anger in that, that sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? If you can wrap your anger in that, that you know this is motivated out of love and this is motivated out of the glory of God, then that would be a righteous anger. I want to read you one last verse here. James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, or slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You like that? Isn't this what your mom used to always tell you? You know, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. There's things that you're struggling with, that you're frustrated with, man, bring it in prayer, saturate it in this. Wrap it up in those two things. How do I bring God glory in this? And how do I show love? If you can do that, then God can use you in an incredible way, even in the midst of your emotions of anger. Father God, we come before you. We praise you that you are angry at sin, so much so that you would step in with compassion and die on the cross for us. Father God, help us. Help us to recognize sin the way that you do, to see it in its ugliness the way that you do. That, Father, that we would not play with it, that we would not desire it, but, Father, that we would step out of it and live in righteousness. Help us, Father, to realize that you have given us passions and emotions not to be a hindrance, but for your good and for our good, and for your glory. But, Father God, that you would help us to be people of passion. Because the reality is anger is linked to our passion. And so, Father God, I ask that you help us to be passionate people, to be all in. And Father, that you would help us to rise to the cause, that we would not beat down others, that we would not be the ones that would cause pain, but Father, that you would help us to heal, to help us to restore, help us to stand up for those that are belittled, those that, Father, that are held captive. Father God, there are so many different people in this room that you have given different experiences to. Lord, I ask that you would heal the hearts of those that have suffered under anger, that they would find a place of forgiveness. Father God, at the same time, those that struggle with losing it, Lord, I ask that you would help them to truly lose it. Lose that drive, that they'd be able to have self-control, a gift of your Spirit. And Lord, that we would be people that would act in love and compassion. And so, Father God, we lay it all before you. In Jesus' name.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've been, when it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. Though we can pour, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the workings of fear. You're looking into my heart. I'm calling back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've been. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. You're looking into my heart. You're looking into my heart. It's all about you, Jesus. You're looking into my heart. You're looking into my heart. It's all about you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah.
It's all about you.
It's all about you. Yes, Jesus, it is all about you. You are looking into the heart. You're looking, Father, at whether or not our anger is reflecting the glory of the Father, or we're dealing with it in a selfish way. You're looking into our heart, and we are thankful for that. We pray that you will give us a passion for your glory, for your kingdom to come, your will to be done. That you would not leave us where we once were. That we truly can become new creations, calling on the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in his name. Amen.
Couple of quick announcements for you guys. Yeah. All right. I brought him up here because Tom's funny, and you know, Eldon is he's a good distraction for all of you. He's better looking than me, right? Anybody look at me? No. What do you think about this? Point over here. Point over here. Did you see? Point down here. What? Oh, he's pointing. Amen. Hey, we got it. Good man. Good man. All right. So a couple announcements. So our Connect groups, we got a bunch of things coming up. There's a little code there you can scan with your phone. You can get signed up. If you're not signed up, please get signed up on our Flock Notes stuff, because like if we get a snowstorm and we cancel church, that's how you all know. So if you're not signed up, you're going to show up and go, how come I didn't know? And it's like, well, you're not signed up, so that's up to you. So that part of that is our Connect groups. And on there, you can sign up and got different things. So we got bowling and we got game nights that are all coming up this next month. So that's awesome. Next slide. Forge groups. So we got our Bible studies that are going on, several different ones that are happening. Tuesday is young adults, and Tuesday morning is women's. And Wednesday is anybody and everybody that wants to come over to the Atards. And so some different things happening there. Also on the 24th, we are doing our Thanksgiving feast after church. So after church, we'll have a bunch of turkey and mashed potatoes and corn. you guys are responsible for bringing all the sides and all the desserts and all the good stuff. So bring more desserts than sides, because, you know, it's really what's important. So that's going on. Plus,
bring one of each.
One of each. Right. Yeah. One of each. So yes, you can bring cookies and pie. So there you go. One of each. All right. Winter retreat. We have this really cool, awesome opportunity that has been granted to us. We're going down. It's a little bit of a trip. It's down by Dillon area, between Dillon and Wisdom. It's in kind of snow heaven, so to speak. And it is a winter retreat. So it's the 17th to the 20th. We will have church here for those that don't go, because there's only 23 spots, I think. But some of us are already signed up. So I think there's like 19 spots that are available for this. And it is basically the food, snowmobiling, lodging, it's all taken care of. It's on a guest ranch. It's kind of a really cool experience. There's a really close to there is a Elkhorn ski field, which is a small little ski field. And so if you want to go skiing, we can do that too. So it'll be fun. Plus we'll have some times of gathering and some studies, some spiritual renewal stuff happening. So go ahead and sign up through the winter retreat, and yeah, let's go on. We're going to close in prayer. We have a request that's come out from IMB that we would be praying for the little ones, little kids that are to our missionaries that are overseas. Right now, with everything happening here in America, a lot of our missionary kids get a lot of flack. And so they get teased for being Americans, and part of that is then they begin to question their own Christianity, and so it becomes a real struggle for them. And so we want to just lift them up, because there's a lot of that happening right now. And then also be praying for hope, and just what you can do, if God's moving you in that direction, to be able to join Ben and help him in the cause that they have. Father God, we just come before you right now. Lord, we thank you for little ones. Father, we just lift up those of our missionaries that are overseas. Father, they have brought their families over there, and the kids are in a different culture and trying to make friends and trying to figure it all out, and at the same time have ties to their home back here. And so, Lord, we just ask that you help them as they become third culture kids, where they feel like their home is really scattered, and at the same time, Father, that their identity would be in you, not in a nation. That, Father, that they'd find peace and rest in you, and that it would be solely tied to you and not where they come from or where they're at. So, Father, we just lift up protection for them. And, Lord, we also lift up hope to you, too. We thank you, Father, that they are working with the homeless and with those that are struggling with addictions. Father, I just ask that you would continue to increase their ministry, bring in the resources that they need, and empower people like Ben to be able to really minister to them. So we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.